Welcome to the Gypcast. Join us on our journey as we explore the ebb and flow of the marketing seascape.
Today's podcast, or Gypcast, is about your new book, right?
That's right.
Okay. I'm David Shepherd, and I'm the, what am I here? I'm the managing director of Gyb, and Nikki Fotheringham is our content marketing specialist here at Gyb, and she happens to be also an author. This is her second book that she's published, and we're here today to talk a little bit about The Flaming Marshmallow's Guide to Campfire Cooking. And Nikki, can you tell us, first off, tell us a little bit about, I guess, where the inspiration came from to write this book?
Well, David, we live a very outdoor-friendly life. We camp, we cook, we have a farm up north, and we have 50 acres of woods. And we do spend an enormous amount of our time outside, and we spend a lot of time cooking on fires. And I was actually coming back from a press trip to the Yukon, and the lady sitting in the airplane seat next to me had a spread of campfire cookbooks that I actually owned myself. And she was expressing her frustration at the fact that most campfire cookbooks require things that aren't practical for hikers or canoeists or campers to take with them. So unless you're car camping or you have an RV or you have a fridge, you really aren't getting recipes that are good quality, that are delicious, mm-hmm. and that are practical.
So you're talking about the ingredients themselves. Like, some of them are not practical to carry with you on a canoe trip or on a backpack.
Both the ingredients and a lot of the equipment that people ask you to use. Mm. You know, they'd say, like, mix this with the mixer, or use your food processor, or, you know, they'd ask for things like milk and cheese and eggs and things that are fine for the first day or two, but then beyond that, they really aren't helpful.
I see. So where did the name come from for this book? Why the Flaming Marshmallow?
Well, because I think that we've all, while many people have not cooked on a campfire, everybody's cooked a marshmallow on a campfire. Mm-hmm. It's the one thing that links everybody to the campfire in cooking, right, is a marshmallow.
I see.
Everybody's cooked on a campfire, technically.
So the book is a series of recipes that take you through all the meals throughout the day, from breakfast to lunch to, of course, dinner, and then snacks in between. Mm-hmm. I've noticed that there are some camping hacks in the book, as well as how to prepare a fire for cooking, which mm-hmm. is an art in itself. And then I think you have written some scary stories, I think, too, haven't you?
Well, what's a campfire without a scary story, right?
Yes. So talk to me a little bit about, because I know beyond just living in a small town where you've got this wilderness mm-hmm. accessible to you, a little bit about the inspiration, because you're not a cook, right? By trade, you're not a cook.
No, I'm not a chef. Yeah.
You're not a chef, but mm-hmm. you traveled a fair bit mm-hmm. in your earlier life, and you've probably done a lot of cooking, outdoor cooking and that sort of stuff, right?
Absolutely. So first of all, I grew up in South Africa, where it's basically just one long summer rather than four seasons. And we have a very ingrained tradition of working, cooking on campfires. In fact, my house growing up had an outdoor kitchen, which we used to cook on. And consequently, you learn how to do that properly, and also you learn a bunch of recipes that you get from your neighbors and friends and family. Then I spent 10 years traveling the world, and after, I think, 85 countries.
Wow.
One thing that I really enjoyed in each of those is that people cook outside and love to cook outside. And I certainly picked up a lot of recipes and really great ideas and techniques for cooking from all these different cultures. And I've tried to incorporate that as much as I could into the cookbook. So even if you're an experienced hiker or canoeist or climber and you cook a lot on a campfire, I still think that you will find some tips and tricks in this book that will make your life a lot easier.
So is it difficult to camp and bring fresh ingredients, or hike and do it, you know, do a couple of days trek and carry fresh ingredients with you? I guess it requires some planning.
It's all about the planning, and it's all about the way in which you pack, okay. Really. So even if you were going for a number of days, you can freeze things and pack them carefully enough so that even in the summer, you can extend their life for a day or two. So what we've done with the recipes is where there are very fresh ingredients, like, say, cheese, mm-hmm. we've said for day one or two, you can have this recipe with cheese. If you're making this recipe on day three or four, then substitute this, substitute these ingredients. And we've done that right up to a week. Wow. So all of the recipes are adaptable for day one of cooking on a campfire where you can have meat and cheese and all those things that you enjoy, right up till day seven, where you probably require more dried goods and a little bit extra planning, yeah, for sure.
So you don't have to carry dehydrated food with you then. There are, if you think a little bit ahead of time and plan your meals and pack them properly, you mm-hmm. can have fresh ingredients, prepare fresh food on the trail, and not have to simply rehydrate things.
Yes, and any person who has been on a long trip of any kind outside knows how important that meal is, especially at the end of the day. You're expending a lot of energy. You need to fuel that, your fun, basically. And also, there's nothing better after a hard day's work to sit around a campfire and eat a really good meal, not a craft dinner or a dehydrated meal that you've reconstituted, mm-hmm. an actual meal. And it's possible.
Yeah.
It's absolutely possible.
So what was the process of making this book like? I know that you had some help with the photography. Your husband's done a fantastic job on the photographs.
Yeah, it was very
and
good.
So and let's talk a little bit about photographs for a second, because every campfire cookbook that mm-hmm. we've picked up in doing the research of making this book, we've discovered that the one thing that they've lacked is photographs. The meals are listed there. And, you know, beyond the complicated ingredients that you were mentioning, there's no photographs. You have no idea what the food looks like.
I've never really understood why that is. I do love cooking, and I have an incredible library of cookbooks, which these days are works of art. Mm-hmm. Modern cookbooks are visually appealing, they're beautiful, and you get to see exactly what you're cooking before you take it on. Mm-hmm. Why this has never translated to camping cookbooks, I'm not sure.
That's a good point.
But certainly when I was thinking about it, one of the things that annoy me currently with my existing library of camping cookbooks is that there may be a couple of illustrations here and there, but there are no photos of the food.
That's right.
So I made a very conscious choice to photograph full color glossy mm-hmm. photographs of every single recipe,
right.
So you know exactly what it's going to look like.
So you've prepared you've prepared the meals, and you've also mm-hmm. photographed them, so that anybody that picks up this book can know or see what they can expect, essentially.
Yes, and they were all cooked. There was an extensive recipe gathering years, really,
yeah.
And then a lot of testing. Because I have a lot of experience cooking on a fire, and I wanted to make sure that people who weren't experienced would find the recipes easy enough to make.
I see.
So we did a lot of testing with people who had no experience cooking on fires, so to make sure that their recipes were simple enough. We went on a bunch of camping trips and actually tried out. We've got in there a list of menus for people who've never planned an extended camping trip and may need a little bit of help with the food planning. Mm-hmm. We've actually set out menus for each day of the trip from day one to day five.
Very nice.
And so we tested those as well. And so my husband, who enjoyed the testing phase, he could eat the food as long as he took pictures of it, and he did a really wonderful job of that. Yeah.
Yes, the photographs do the book justice. I mean, they're amazing. They're really, really well done. If you're somebody who's planning to do a trip into the woods and canoeing or a kayaking trip, you're saying that, you know, the book has some tools for them to plan ahead of time. So they can plan their meals. They can combine their meals with certain ingredients as well, mm-hmm. right? So what is your favorite recipe in the book? What of all the recipes that you've made, what's your favorite one?
I'm a relatively new Canadian citizen. And the one thing that I've really enjoyed playing with is bannock.
Bannock bread. Nice.
Bannock is wonderful. It's a really simple recipe. And you can do everything from put the dough on a stick and cook it over the fire to frying it in oil. It can be savory. It can be sweet. And it can be used as a base for anything from tacos to hamburgers.
Wow. So bannock bread, for those who don't know, can you talk a little bit about the history of, because they call it different things in different places, right?
Sure. But most of the Aboriginal peoples of North America, both in the States and here in Canada, made bannock bread. And it's a flour base, mm-hmm. and then you add oil and water. And so it has been made of from everything from cattails to acorns, depending on where the tribe was, what season of the year it was. Mm-hmm. And so that gives the user a lot of leeway as well. You can make it out of flour. Mm-hmm. If you have a problem with wheat, you can make it out of something else, you know.
I see.
So you can use any kind of flour. And you can mix the dry ingredients before you go. Mm-hmm. And you just put it in a Ziploc bag.
Yeah.
And then so what that means is that you add the wet ingredients every day and you have fresh bread no matter what day it's on. And like I say, you can make it pizza. You can use it in the way that you would use any kind of bread base.
Right. So I saw in the book that you had it wrapped around a stick. Mm-hmm. So how is it cooked?
So when you cook it on a stick, you just make a dough, which is very easy to make, even if you've never made a bread dough before. Mm-hmm. It takes 5 minutes to make. You let it rise a little, and then you wrap it around the stick. And just like you would a marshmallow, you hold it over the flames until it starts to brown. And it's a really great vehicle for hot dogs, that particular, because it's got the stick. You've wrapped it around. It's got the perfect shape, and it's got a hole in the middle.
Nice.
But we also have a Navajo fried bread in there where you make it into a flat disc, mm-hmm. and you gently fry in oil. And that flat disc is delicious on its own, but is a great vehicle for whatever topping you want to put on there, whether it's a hamburger, salad, whatever you like. And if you add a little sugar and cinnamon, mm-hmm. it's dessert.
Fantastic. So the book's about 152 pages, mm-hmm. right? And how many recipes are in the book?
There's over 50 recipes in there, and they go from breakfast, lunch, and dinner, mm-hmm. desserts. There's also some drinks that you can make in
drinks
there.
Drinks as well, okay.
Warm drinks like chai or glühwein, mm-hmm. or things that will really help on a cold winter's night if you're winter camping. And everything in there is made fresh. So if you're making tacos, you can go and get a bag of taco spice, but we also give you a taco spice recipe if you really want to make it yourself.
Right.
So it can be as easy or as complicated as you like, but we certainly are on the side of easy.
Right. Fantastic. Tell me a little bit about who should buy this book. Why should they buy this book?
Everybody should buy this book. This book was designed for the serious outdoor enthusiast in mind. So if you need to pack your food in, mm-hmm. if you're going for more than 2 days, this is the perfect book for you. If you want to eat really well when you're camping, mm-hmm. or hiking or climbing or canoeing, this is the book for you. Okay. But the recipes are just as translatable to barbecues, to if you're car camping or if you have an RV, mm-hmm. any kind of camping or...
Even a backyard fire, I guess.
Even a backyard fire, yeah. Absolutely. If you are cooking on a fire under any circumstances, this book will have some great recipes for you.
And do you think it would fit nicely in a stocking for Christmas this year?
Or? It's the perfect size. We've obviously kept the size and the weight down with the serious outdoor enthusiast in mind, because it's important.
The thing is, the book is super high quality. Like the color photographs mm-hmm. are really rich, and I think that The one thing that, that we did do with the book is we made sure that the quality of the book was top-notch. Therefore, I mean, the book is 152 pages and it weighs about 290 grams, mm-hmm. right? So it's not a lightweight book, but at the same time, if you, you know, if you need to eat, this would be a great thing to pack in your backpack or whatever the case may be.
Absolutely, and we've made it a slightly smaller size, so it will fit in a Christmas stocking.
Yes, perfect. Where can you buy this book, Nikki?
Amazon.com. Just look for The Flaming Marshmallows Guide to Campfire Cooking, and you will find it there.
So the book's for sale on Amazon. Mm-hmm. Do you plan to sell a digital version of the book? Because I know there's a physical version of the book, right?
Yes. The modern camper often has their smartphone with them, and they may want a digital copy mm-hmm. Or on tablet as well. That is for sale on our website at greenmoxie.com.
Thank you for listening to the Jibcast. Jib Strategic is a boutique advertising agency in Toronto, where we create big fat ideas that sell.